Break free from the shoulds and trust your own path. Are outside opinions steering your decisions? When, and I do mean when, are you going to trust yourself that you, not them, made the decision to become a project manager? Let me tell you a short story, family. One day I was on a network upgrade call, and we got to a point where we had to make a go or no go decision. This decision meant that if we did not go through with the decision, we may be in trouble with the customer. Reason why we're going to be in trouble with the customer is because we made a commitment contractually, as well as this is our second attempt at trying to make this network upgrade. So the decision was left to me. Hey, should we go? Should we move forward or should we not? And I had people telling me, no, we're not going to do this because if we do it, we may break this or break that. And I'm accounting for all of the feedback. It's funny when things happen, especially on a call like of that magnitude, that everyone focuses on the problem. I share that with you, family, because when you step into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you will be put in this position more times than you would like, but it's going to be worth it. Now back to the story. And so I'm hearing everyone talk about all of the things that could go wrong or could happen and could this and could that. And then I had to reframe and I said, what could go right? We can make the client happy. Okay. What else could go right? Then we won't have to come back and do this for a third time. Exactly. So I got on the phone. I called the senior director over the team. I said, hey, listen, I need you on this call because I'm making a decision that may not sit well with your team, but we need to do this because if not, this will get escalated to the executive, mostly the CIO. What are your thoughts about moving forward? I said, would you be available to jump on the call? Now, keep in mind, family, here's the backdrop. This is probably around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because normally we would make our upgrades around midnight Eastern Standard Time. So this is not early. So first of all, I'm shocked that he picked up the phone because, I mean, I don't know if I would have picked up the phone because I probably would have been sleeping so hard, but I digress. So he picks up we're having this conversation and he said, you know what, Ed, I support you. So I'm going to jump on the call, send me the bridge. So I sent him the bridge. He jumped on the call. He backs me up on the decision that was to be made. And we moved forward and we just said, hey, we'll plan for any issues. We had a hypercare bridge that started as soon as we finished. And then after and during an extra day, after we finished, we still have that bridge up. Why am I sharing this story with you? I'm sharing the story with you, family, because a lot of times your team will tell you not to move forward and they may be right. But what happens when they're wrong? This is why I say, and I model this from David Goggins, you have to take people's thoughts or opinions with a grain of salt. Here's a quote for you to ponder on. Forge your own path. Let your experience be the compass and your courage be the engine, not the endless shoulds of others. Edward Cole Jr. Point number one, develop a resilient mindset through reflective practice. Schedule regular reflection sessions so you can evaluate your decisions and outcome. When I first got in, this is something that I wish I would have done right away. Started journaling. And not on some journaling where I'm writing pages and pages, but at a very high level, one of the books that I'm currently rereading again, which is Dick's book on storytelling. And he talks about homework for life. And the synopsis of that is really just journaling your day, maybe bullet pointing one or two sentences at most and talking about, hey, what did I learn? What could I have done better? And every time I'm consistent with, that's the key word, consistent, I find out that I can go back and reflect on certain things that have happened in my project management journey. So this is why I recommend journaling, recommend team retrospective as well. Understand what worked again, family, and what didn't. And then the why is the most important. Why didn't it work? Why when I made that call, if it would have went left, what would have happened then? But we didn't have a decision. There wasn't everyone was all over the place. And this is when you step into the role of project manager, you have to make these decisions. You have to make this call and not have all of the information. But if you have enough information and if you have the support of a director or manager or whatever, This also gives you more authority to move forward. Again, this is important, family, because a reflective practice builds mental resilience, enabling you to better absorb feedback and maintain confidence. I've seen plenty of project managers, you know what, I'll even testify myself, where I didn't leverage a resilient mindset, and it affected my confidence. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, wait, why am I falling victim to this? I know better than this. I know that I've done this and this, and I overcame it. So today is not going to be any different than previous. I need to be able to move forward. Here's my actual tip. Set aside time weekly or biweekly for personal reflection. Like I said, I recommend journaling. Conduct a retrospective so you can gain collective insight on your decision-making. And most of important, document your lessons learned and integrate them in your future planning. Point number two, promote cultural psychological safety. Again, promote culture of psychological safety. Foster an environment where team members feel safe and honest feedback can be shared without any fear or negative repercussion. This leads to a more genuine and constructive dialogue. This is what they say, you get to the root of things instead of the surface layer. We all know that in life, we have sometimes a lot of surface layer conversations. We need to get to the root. Why? What is the real issue? Does this project team member don't like this other project team member? Is this stakeholder trying to sabotage a project on purpose? What we need to have this constructive dialogue, because if we don't, then all we're doing is setting ourselves up for failure, not success. Here's why this is important. Psychological safety, building this type of culture, encourage innovative solution. It reduces someone feeling defensive, because if I know that you're coming from a place of true and pure constructive feedback, I'm welcoming criticism. I'm welcoming your feedback because I know that you're coming from a place, what they'll say, of love. But seriously, though, family, really, this helps you understand the importance of being able to have the ability to trust your team and your team trust you. Here's my actionable tips. Establish team norms that emphasize respect and open communication. And again, leveraging retrospective sessions where everyone can voice their opinion. Allow them to voice their opinion. Let them get this out of their system. If they're frustrated with you because you should have delivered a project status report on day one and you didn't deliver it to day three, let them get that out so at least you know where they stand. See, I like my project team up front and honest with me. I don't care if you feel like you're hurting my feelings or not, because I'd rather know where you stand than assume something different. And last and finally, recognize and reward contributions that lead to project improvement. And sometimes a lot of project managers, we get this wrong. We think it needs to be taking them out to lunch or doing. How about just sending a simple email about what this person did and the impact that they had on the team to their manager, and maybe copying the next level up in the leadership role to show how much this person added value. Again, family, I have those 8 AI prompts for you around project artifacts so you can start your journey. They're really useful, and I think it's a great tool. Please check it out. Again, it's free. And another thing, please pick up my mentor's book, Build Your Leadership Brain. I do have the link available for you, so that will be in the notes somewhere or in the chat. So check it out. I'll have it available for you. Back to today's episode. Point number three, model adaptive leadership. Demonstrate flexibility by iterating on your strategies as new information comes available. Have you ever met somebody that they're so stubborn that they won't be flexible to make a change, even though they see what they're up against? Okay, maybe that's me. Maybe I'm the one that experienced. See, when you show that while you stand by your core values, you also show that you're open to change when evidence, that's the key word, supports it. Hey, if you show me evidence that supports, hey, instead of going left, we need to go right, then fine. Going back to the story I shared, they couldn't provide me any evidence except everything that was going to go wrong, which was valuable. But what were all the things that could go right about it if we focus on that? I'm not saying making an informed decision or make a decision and by not trusting your team or some things that could mess up, bring down the whole entire network. But if we have an option to move forward, Let's see what that looks like before you've already tore it down. Here's why it's important. Adaptive leadership builds trust by showing that your decision-making is both principled and responsive to real-time feedback, which could help mitigate resistance from external opinions. Here's my actionable tip. Share examples of how past adaptations led to better outcomes. Create a regular review process to assess and adjust your project strategies. And my last and final one for you, family, is encourage team members to suggest improvement and participate in the decision-making process. Point number four, my favorite, message. Anytime I say message, this is one of those points that you want to align with. This is one of those points that you want to see how this can fit into your journey into either becoming a project manager or if you're already a project manager. Point number four, master the art of tactical communication. What does that mean, Ed? It's basically developing a clear communication strategy that frames your decision-making process as part of your narrative. You want to use storytelling. Did you see what I did with you at the beginning? I told a story so I can contextualize my approach and emphasize the data behind it. The data behind it was, hey, this is what I did. I had to reach out to the senior director, had to let him know, hey, this is the approach that I want to go move forward with. Here's the reasons why. We have a contractual agreement with the customer. We've already written them a correspondent, letting them know that this is going to be done on such and such day. We can't go backwards again because this is we've already made this attempt before, so we need to execute now. Why is this important? Because effective communication ensures that your rationale is understood. And most of all, can we put some Aretha Franklin on it? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Okay, I'm sorry. Put some respect on it. Basically reducing misinterpretations and resistance to your methods. Here's my actionable tips, family. Create a communication matrix that details who, what, when, and when information will be shared. Develop key talking points that explain your decision-making process clearly. This is important because when you can articulate the process of how you got to your decision, now only thing they can say is, well, okay, maybe we need to tweak that process here. Versus if you say, hey, this is a decision. I'm just going with this. No, this is the process of how I got to this decision. This is a key that one of my mentors shared with me is when he would talk with one of his direct reports, whether the decision was good or bad, he wanted to know what was the process of how you got there. And this is what we have to do as project managers. And the last and final thing, practice delivering your narrative in various formats, such as presentation or informal updates. Point number five, establish a clear decision-making protocol. I'm actually going to write a book on this of how I developed my decision-making protocol. So what you want to be able to do is define and document your process and make sure that your protocol includes your escalation path, your decision log. So a lot of times I'll use a RAID Q log, which stands for risk, action items, issues, decisions, as well as questions, and document any alternative consideration. Why is this important? A structured protocol provides transparency and accountability, which helps counter external opinions by showing that decisions are made through a systematic approach. Here's my actionable tip. Develop a decision log template. I recommended the RAID Q log so you can capture rational information for why these key decisions were made. Define a clear, and I do mean crystal clear, escalation procedure. I want to park there parenthetically, family, and inform you what I mean by a clear escalation procedure. What I mean is saying, just don't go to your leadership, and I've shared this before, don't go to your leadership or your PMO without saying, hey, these are the solutions or solution that we leverage in order to get here, and now I have to escalate because of these reasons. Review and refine your decision-making process after each project phase. You're always going to be refining your decision-making protocol because, again, you have to remember, when you lead a project, it's unique, and with it being unique, there's going to be things you're going to find out about this new project. You're going to have different team members. You're going to have different stakeholders. So understand how you can refine your decision-making process as you continue to grow as a project manager. Point number six, invest in deep stakeholder engagement. This is my favorite. This is why I wrote the book. And if you haven't picked it up, The Magnetic Project Manager, is because I understood that when you engage stakeholders early and continuously, that's the key word, continuously, through structured workshops or feedback sessions, you have a chance to incorporate their insight while clarifying vision and rationale. This is why it's important, family. Proactive engagement builds trust and minimizes resistance to your decision by involving stakeholders in the process. Now, I will be honest and be clear with you. Not all stakeholders are going to get along, nor are they going to like you. They're going to push back. They're going to be frustrated. Why do we have to listen to this? Or why do we have to do this? Same thing with your project team. They're going to push back and say, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to go the extra mile? Or whatever that thing is for that particular project is not always going to be, as they say, roses and cologne. I don't know. But seriously, family, the point I'm trying to make is that you will have resistance, but how do we minimize the resistance? How do we control the controllables? Here's my actionable tip. Schedule one-on-one touch point and feedback sessions with key stakeholders. One of the key things that I enjoy doing is having impromptu one-on-one touch points. That's if I see somebody available, I may ping them, say, hey, you got a quick moment? And just really connect with them. Hey, how's the family? How was your weekend? How's John doing? I remember you were telling me you were taking your son to college. Just how was that road? Did y'all fly? Did you drive? Or how did you feel? So I'm really building a rapport with them. And the last and final actionable tip is document stakeholder input and explain how it integrated into your strategy. Point number 7. This is one of the things, family, I don't have regrets, because if I have regrets, and to model what Michael Jordan said, it may have changed everything else in my life, but this is one of the things I wish I would have started earlier. I'll just say that. And that is craft a customized playbook. So a customized playbook will allow me to really understand the lessons learned. What approaches did I use? What some of the, when I had conflicts, how did I address it? And what was the outcome? What were some of the tools that I used? When we didn't have any tools, how did I ensure that I kept my project schedule up to date, my risk register, et cetera? Basically all of the project artifacts. And this is a really good playbook that I wish I would have put together, but I'm going to put together now for you. Why is this important? A tailored playbook demonstrates that your methods are well thought out and based on real world experience. There are a lot of books out there around project management. And then when you go and do your homework, you find out that some of these people never even led a project or a multi-million dollar project at that. I don't even care what the dollar amount is. It's just more or less that they haven't had the experience. I love how, I think it was Russell Brunson who I heard coin it, and he got it from somewhere else, where they didn't have any scars on them, meaning being able to say that, or cycle times, meaning that they never been through anything. They're basing it off of theory and not actually real world experience. This is why, again, I always share with you, it's awesome to go after these certifications. I'm a big proponent of these certifications. I'm a trainer of a lot of these certifications. However, it's about getting that real world experience. When you get that real world experience, you're allowed to now see, how do I pivot? How am I adaptable? What should I be using here? What shouldn't I be using there? You get the chance to really go through the learning process. If you're looking at somebody, if you want to learn how to ride a bike, you're not going to sit there and watch somebody just for hours, watching them ride the bike up and down. Eventually, you're going to have to get on the bike to see, okay, what do I need to learn how to do? Where are my weaknesses at? And then after continuous practicing, which is real world experience, you get better. Here's my actionable tip. Create a detailed document that outlines your project management processes from initiate to closure. Update this playbook regularly with insights and feedback from each project phase. And finally, you might want to think about distributing this playbook to your team and relevant stakeholders for transparency. My last and final one, we got an amazing one, message. So this particular one is continuous revisiting your core values and defining your why. Family, out of everything we've shared today, this is one of those points where you want to take time to articulate your core values. You want to take time to understand your project management style, which will continue to evolve. You will start off going into, when you're starting leading your first project, you may be shy, you may be introverted, you may be someone that doesn't want to push back. but it's going to take time to develop in that real world mindset to understand, wait a minute, I'm here to lead the project. You're here to execute on the things that you signed up for. Whether you want to be part of the project or not, you're part of it. So how do we work together? So this is the reason why your why serves as your North Star when external advice conflicts with your instinct. A lot of people are going to tell you how you should be leading the project. And they may be right some of the time. But most of the time when they're wrong, how are you going to respond? How are you going to start being able to trust yourself? Let me tell you why this is important. Know your why reinforces your confidence. See, when you have confidence as a project manager, it becomes infectious. What I mean by that is that your team starts believing they can do more. Your team starts breaking limited beliefs. And your grounds of decision and personal conviction rather than external expectation. That translates to me saying more or less, family, is that you made a decision and not a choice. When you become a project manager, you have to make decisions. You can't be loosey-goosey with your choices because your choices may turn you right and left. When you make a decision, you say there is no plan B. If there is a plan B, then we'll look at it when we get to that. But right now we're going with plan A. We're all in on plan A. Here's my actionable tip. Reflect on your past successes to identify the values that drove those results. Share your why with your team to establish a common understanding of approach. I have three transformational remarks and then I'll let you go on your way. Again, family, I just want to remind you that we do have the Magnetic Project Management School. It is actually live for clear transparency. I'm still trying to figure out how to develop that community. So I appreciate those that are there. Be patient with me as we continue to grow up. I do want to let you guys know, if you made it this far, I will be going live in there. I'm trying to figure out what the date to share an excerpt from my new book. Yes, I waited to the end. Most people would have done this at the beginning, but I have a new book that is coming out and I want you guys, I'm going to do an excerpt from there only for that community. So I implore you to join the Magnetic Project Management School for current or aspiring project managers. All right, let's go through the transformational remarks. Develop a resilient mindset through a reflective practice. Like I said, family, reflective practice builds mental resilience, enabling you to better absorb feedback and maintain confidence in your approach. You want to be able, my actionable tip is set aside time weekly as well as biweekly just to do a personal reflection. I recommended journaling to you. Again, these are all recommendations. You need to find something that fits you. Now, this information, the reason why I do this is to give you everything that I've learned and I'm continuing to learn as a project manager, because I'm no different than you. I'm in the same boat as you are. It's just that I'm on the next page and you're on table of contents, but there's no difference in what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to become better as project managers. We're trying to become better as just human beings. So I recommend a lot of things to you. You can take it or not take it. But I recommend you experiment with it and see how it fits your life. All right, I'm gonna go to the point number two, invest in your deep stakeholder engagement. This is my key here. This is where my sweet spot is. Like all the tools and software and everything, artifacts. If you do not have a human connection with your stakeholders, it doesn't matter what you do. You can throw up the next Microsoft project. It doesn't mean anything if you don't create that human connection with them. So my actionable tip is schedule regular one-on-one touch points and feedback sessions with key stakeholders. And the last and final one is continue revisiting your core values and defining your why. Knowing your why reinforces your confidence and it grounds you in your decision-making process, as well as it helps you with all of the external expectations that people try and put on you. The key word is try and put on you. My actionable tips is reflect on past success to identify values that drove those results and share your why with your team so you can establish common misunderstandings of your approach. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.